adventure blogger and missionary, chartered a fishing boat to take him to the isolated island of North Sentinel off the coast of India. A small tribe of people who live there are among the last totally uncontacted people on Earth. When Chow learned this in Bible school, he began to feel God's call to share the love of Christ with them. Chow had several passions in life. He loved outdoors and outdoor survival. He loved beef jerky, actually became a sponsor for a brand, and he was passionate about his faith. In every aspect of life, he sought to shine Jesus' light into the place that he had been. So after putting these things together, it wasn't a surprise to many of his friends and teachers that missions became his focus, and his mind got set on what had not been done before. After significant preparation, Chow set out with some fishermen who agreed to drop him off. They navigated around the Coast Guard and arrived at North Sentinel Island a few hours later. The fishermen refused to get close to the island, so Chow actually used a kayak to paddle to shore. As he approached, several people began yelling at him and running for their bow and arrows, and so he quickly threw some fish that he had caught onto the shore as a gift and paddled back to the boat. The next day, he made it to shore, and he approached one of the huts before he was seen. As people began yelling at him, he tried to parrot their words back to them, but then one of the youth shot an arrow at him, and it lodged in his waterproof Bible. He removed the arrow and gave it back to the youth before retreating to the shore, only to find that his kayak had been taken, so he was forced to swim a mile back to the ship. After writing in his journal and spending time in prayer and then bidding an expected farewell to his shipmates, he made his third attempt. News of John Chow traveled quickly around the globe. You probably heard this. It was a very sensational and strange story. This doesn't happen all that often. And social media was very quick to attack him, saying, among other things, John Chow is not a martyr, just a dumb American who thought the tribals needed Jesus when tribals already lived in harmony with God and nature for years outside of any influence. Even Chow's own father criticized his son's actions. John's gone because the Western ideology overpowered my Confucian influence. Extreme Christianity pushed my child to a not unexpected end. But not everybody was a critic. A friend of Chow's, John Ramsey, defended his actions. His motivation was love for the Sentinelese people. If you believe in heaven and hell, then what he did was the most loving thing anyone could do. After his resurrection, Jesus said, "Go and make disciples of all nations. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you, and be sure of this, I'm with you always to the end of the age." Today we're delving into one of the most difficult to interpret sections in Revelation, the first few verses in the chapter 11. So I want to encourage you to take out your Bibles and follow along there. As you're turning there, and just before we look at this passage, I want to just outline a couple of the steps that I go through in order to understand a passage of Scripture. Now, believe it or not, there's work involved in what I do. I don't just work one day a week. I've mentioned before that I want to be very careful not to just start with an idea, that's in my head or a theory about how something or what something means and then look at the text and try to make the text line up with what I'm thinking. I really try hard not to avoid that. Instead, I want to start with the text itself and allow the text to speak for itself. Take the meaning out of the text. Actually, there's a word for this. You can impress your friends with this word. It's called exegesis, all right? So the opposite of exegesis, that's taking the meaning out of the text, finding out what it actually says. The opposite of that is, anybody know? Anybody know the word of the opposite of that? Eisegesis, all right? So what that means is basically putting your own ideas into the text and making it agree with you. And in general, that's bad, all right? So for example, one day I was talking with this young man, and we were talking about how Jesus is the only path to God, and he responded by saying this, "Hey, I've read some of the Bible. I know that the Bible says God is love, and there's no way that a loving God would send people that he loves to hell." So I'm not really too worried about getting Jesus wrong. If I'm wrong, God still is going to love me. He's going to let me into heaven. This line of thinking, I think, fits very well with Canadian culture. In Canada, tolerance is the most important virtue, right? That is like the most important thing in Canada. And within the context of tolerance, we define love as accepting people and letting them believe whatever they want to believe. That's how you love people in Canada. But when we use this context, the Canadian context, to understand the Bible, that's called eisegesis. That's making God a Canadian. I don't know if this is news to anybody here. God's not a Canadian, all right? So how do we avoid